We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Authorities are calling the attack of terrorism in New Zealand one of New Zealand's darkest days. That is what Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said. She also says five guns were used in the attack, and she promises stricter gun laws. Authorities have three people in custody, one man in his late 20s, whom authorities declined to name. He's charged with murder, and he's expected in court tomorrow morning. Such a horrific way to wake up.
It is, again.
So tragic.
Unimaginable.
And the world stands with the folks affected. The world stands with the Muslim community against acts of hate like this, because this should never happen.
And I think, as I recall, the Bangladeshi cricket team was in Christchurch in New Zealand for a match, and they missed being in that mosque by something like 30 seconds.
Really?
So literally, as they were filing into the mosque to worship, they heard shots, ran for cover, and just barely missed becoming potential victims in this mayhem.
Joining us on the phone now is Ode Muhawesh. He is an imam at the Imam Hussein Islamic Center. Ode, thank you for the time today.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, our condolences to your entire community at the tragedy that has befallen Muslims everywhere. We're very sad about this tragedy.
Thank you very much. We actually view this attack as an attack on all people of faith. While this was targeted at the Muslim community in New Zealand, we won't forget the attacks on the churches and the synagogue in Pittsburgh. So we see this as one event, unfortunately.
I would agree with you on
well
that.
Said, yeah.
Now, we know that obviously 49 people are dead in this shooting at the two mosques in New Zealand. You run the Imam Hussein Islamic Center here in the Twin Cities. Do you think about security on a daily basis? Do you have beefed up security? And in light of this, what is happening at the center today?
Absolutely. Security is in top of mind for us at the different mosques in the Twin Cities. I'm aware of what other mosques as well are doing. And we all are installing, better cameras. Every mosque that I know of is working closely with the police precinct in their area, asking them to review their security, to make any recommendations, to do community education for the members. Recently, some of the mosques distributed guidelines for mass shooting, what to do in those cases. while this really is shocking, what happened in New Zealand, I hate to say this, but it has been anticipated. We have been in discussions for months and weeks now on what to do in case something like this happens. The situation right now with our mosque and all other mosques is very tense. There's a degree of anticipation. But at the same time, we believe in our police forces and law enforcement. We cannot stop doing that. And we feel safe, to a degree we feel safe because we have, for one thing, we live in the state of Minnesota, which is, in my humble opinion, is the best state to live in for anybody. And the second thing is that, the police forces and security forces in Minnesota have been really fantastic at reaching out and asking us if we need any help, if we feel safe. And we've been extremely receptive to that.
Imam, it appears, and it's still early, and we certainly don't have all the information, but it would appear that these assailants, these murderers, these terrorists, were radicalized online. What has to happen, in your opinion, based on what you know, for things to move in the right direction?
There has to be better control over this propaganda, these conspiracy theories that affect not only these terrorists. And as you mentioned, you know, we really don't know much, but from what we've seen so far online, the leading man, the leading terrorist, saw himself as a white supremacist. As you mentioned, we really don't know. We have to wait for the full story to emerge. But we know that others have been radicalized by online propaganda. As an American, it breaks my heart that he quoted President Trump allegedly. we have to have more sanity, and we have to realize that words do matter. Words kill, and that's exactly what we've seen out there. I believe that people who publicize hate speech should be held accountable. Our laws should develop. I know we have freedom of speech, and that is something that we hold dear to our hearts. We would never want to remove that. But we have to find a balance for people who spread lies, stereotypes, fear-mongering. They have to be responsible for what they do.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, today President Trump was asked if white nationalism was on the rise worldwide and if that was a threat, and he said, no, I do not see it as a rising threat worldwide, which I'm sure you were disappointed about. I certainly was. Let's talk locally, Oda. Are you seeing threats here locally? How is the Minnesota community? I know you said we're a great state, and I believe that too. I love it here. Yeah. Are you seeing white nationalism on the rise in Minnesota?
Absolutely. If you would recall, there was a mosque in Bloomington that was firebombed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
we've received a while back, several months back, threats of people who wanted to demonstrate in front of our mosques, and that was some tense time for us. We're seeing a rise in hate speech towards Muslims and, frankly speaking, towards other communities. We will never forget that other communities are suffering as we suffer from this insanity. So absolutely, we're seeing a rise of fear in our communities. It's sad when every time we go to the mosque, we wonder if somebody's going to walk in and shoot up some people like what happened in New Zealand.
We're speaking with Imam Odeh Muhawesh from the Imam Hussein Islamic Center. And before we let you go, Odeh, you know, we hear a lot. Look, I hear it a lot, too. Word on the street, people text in here that, and I mean this question with no disrespect, I just want you to clear up some misconceptions. People say, well, Muslims want Sharia law. They don't want to listen to our laws. They don't want to assimilate. They don't want to, you know, respect American law. Can you please give us a response and a better understanding of what that could possibly mean?
You know, it's actually disheartening to hear this, and we hear it all the time. It really is nothing but fear-mongering. For one thing, the Muslim community is about 1.8% of the American population. And for another thing is the greatest number of Muslims are law-abiding, which means they don't want Sharia law. Let me tell you this. If somebody, which hasn't happened, called for the implementation of Sharia law as understood by those who, fear-monger with the word Sharia, if that would be called for, the first community that would stand up against that is the American Muslim community. Because we're here, whether immigrants or converts or, born American Muslims, we're here because we love our Constitution. Our Constitution protects everyone. And to call for a Sharia law, hypothetically, like that of ISIS, would be insane. None of us would want something like that. And the call for Sharia law by itself, the people who use that to create fear, I would guarantee you, I teach at the University of St. Thomas, and I can tell you that the people who do this have absolutely no idea what Sharia is, no idea what it is, to create this kind of fear about the implementation of Sharia law. Let's say, hypothetically, and this is very hypothetical, somebody says, yes, I want to implement Sharia law in the United States. We don't just shoot them up. We take them to court or we deport them if they're an immigrant. We don't just walk into a mosque and take submachine guns and shoot people up. This is, you know, final point. This is the same kind of fear-mongering that happened about the Catholics in the early days when demonstrations happened against the establishment or a building of a cathedral in New York, where they said these people follow the Pope, a guy in Rome. Same kind of fear-mongering.
Thank you for the explanation. And by the way, that analogy, I think people, you know, don't really equate that, but I'm glad you brought it up. And thank you for allowing me to ask that question, because I really feel like Minnesotans need to hear what you had to say. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Imam. Appreciate your time today, sir, very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it.
That was Imam Odeh Muhawesh from the Imam Hussein Islamic Center.
And we want them to be safe. We want them to feel part of the community. And we, you know, pray that nothing like that would ever happen here other than what happened after Bloomington.
I find it ironic, too. Maybe it's ironic is not the right word, but the same fears that the Jewish community face on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean,
of course,
the Muslim
of
community.
Course. Yes, absolutely.
Almost identical fears.
Absolutely. Hate is hate. Hate is, yeah, absolutely. It's almost equal opportunity, depending on who you choose to hate.
Equal inopportunity.
Mm-hmm. And it's frightening no matter who it's coming from.
All right, Jor, we'll take a break here. Have a little bit of weather therapy. It is going to get warmer. I don't think it's going to get to 60, but 50.
Well, it might. I saw those European models you were eyeing during the break.
Yeah, I know. Gazing at it longingly. The European model. We'll tell you what's coming up here and have an update on the flood scenario. That's next on CCO. So you were looking over my shoulder. I tapped you on the shoulder, and I showed you the European model.
Hey, look at these numbers. He gets excited about numbers.
Inga, the European
model. Is that her name?
Yeah. Well, some people think of different things when they think of a European model. But it's a weather model and generally thought to be the best in the world. And I'm still rooting for NOAA. I'm rooting for American models, mm-hmm. the National Weather Service. But if you look at it objectively, the European often outperforms the United States models, NOAA's models. It's not perfect. No model
so
is
what
perfect.
What does Inga have to say for herself?
Inga says 59
nice.
Next weekend. I don't buy Inga just yet. Because, again, think last, well, you weren't here, but we were in the 40s, and people were strutting around, you know, light jackets
for
in
like
the 40s.
Five minutes.
It felt pretty good, but it was foggy, it was murky, because the snow melt, the rain and the melting snow moistened up the air. We had a lot of fog. That could happen again late next week, that during the day comes out, temperatures thaw out, the snow melts, it moistens up the lowest few hundred feet of the atmosphere, and that could spark fog. Each night, if the fog burns off, I think we will see some low 50s late next week and next weekend. Not convinced we're going to see 60, although the GFS, NOAA's model looking out 2 weeks for the Twins home opener, hinting at 50s, which would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can be in the 50s for the home opener against Cleveland, I think a lot of people at Target Field will be relieved.
Good for the grass.
Good news, I don't see any big storms. Again, maybe some sprinkles or flurries on Tuesday, Jor, but the pattern looks dry next week into next weekend. I think we're going to get at least 8, maybe 9 dry days in a row. And that's critical because the folks at the Weather Service that are tracking the flood risk, they said, worst case scenario, we get a few more storms with an inch or more of rain on top of all this melting snow, on top of 40s and 50s. That would be a worst case scenario.
Yep.
And so I'm hoping we can dodge a bullet, avoid a worst-case scenario. It's still going to be bad, I think. The places that normally flood along the Minnesota River and the Mississippi and the St. Croix will be flooding first, maybe second week of April. Hard to say exactly when, but I'm just hoping we can avoid a 1965-like scenario, which was the record. That was the granddaddy. Of floods.
I think that's what's happening in Susan's basement right now.
It's 1965 all over again.
I know. And she just redid the carpet. Nightmare. We're going to talk more about that in half an hour if you're having some flooding woes in your basement. So I was reading a story. Oh, and by the way, we had before the show about road flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And he said not really so much in the metro anymore.
We had the flooding in Jordan. Okay. Right. And some people had to be evacuated from a trailer park in the Jordan area last night. Most of the problems far southern Minnesota, closer to the Iowa border. Omaha is a gong show right now. Serious flooding in Nebraska, parts of Iowa, southern Wisconsin. Some really bad flooding. So we're not seeing the worst of it yet. And again, we're just going to hold our breath and kind of take it day by day.
Good.
And see how quickly the snow melts.
Good. Also read a story this morning, Paul, and I'm sure you heard about this. A student vigil calling for action on climate change has gone global. Now there are schools that are striking today in more than 100 countries to protest, I guess, the fact that we might not be doing enough on climate change.
A lot of young people, and they're the ones that are going to be stuck with
what we screwed up.
Well, and they're saying, and it's not just here in the United States, it's worldwide, and students taking to the streets.
By the way, the woman, the girl who started it, I think she's Swedish. Is she
Greta Thunberg, yeah.
Is she up for a Nobel Peace Prize?
She is. She's 15.
Good for her.
But yeah, demonstrations, and there were about 1,000 people at the state capitol here in St. Paul, but 123 countries, 2,000 cities, 136 cities and towns in the U.S., about a million students estimated participated today, and they're basically saying, hey, this matters to us. You're going to hear our voice, whether you like it or not. And at some point, these kids, these younger people, will become voting age, and they will suddenly be able to vote their conscience. So I think we have to take them at face value and hear them out. They're concerned. They're worried.
I don't blame them, and I'm glad they're doing something about it. I love when the youth rise up, make their voices heard.
Make it better.
Yes. A question from a listener, Paul. Is there any tie-in to the 65 flooding to tornadoes?
Boy, that's a great question. I mean, the faster we go from cold to warm, the greater the potential for an atmosphere that can breed tornadoes. At face value, I would say no.
Okay.
Again, we don't have the identical setup that we had in 1965. In 65, it stayed very, very cold right through the end of March, and then it warmed up very quickly, and there were three or four storms in early April that had an inch or more of rain. Right now, I don't see that scenario. But again, it was a very volatile situation, which ultimately led to the early May killer tornadoes, the F4s that hit from Lake Minnetonka up to Fridley. Now it's thought there might have been as many as five or six separate EF4 tornadoes. The EF4, it's about as bad as they get. That's the size of the tornado that just hit in Alabama. I don't know if you even saw that last week, but there was a really bad one that half a mile wide and killed like 23 people in Alabama. And many of these people in poorer communities, for whatever reason, didn't get the message. Even the warnings went out. 10 minutes lead time, 10 minutes warning from the Weather Service. Hey, take cover.
And that's enough, you said. It's normally 10 minutes, that should be enough.
It's pretty close to average now. There are times you can get 15, 20 minutes of lead time, but 10 minutes.
Do they have basements in Alabama?
No, in many cases they don't. And
where again, are they going to go?
That's a problem, especially if you live in a mobile home. You have limits, what you can do to protect yourself.
Susan's yelling at us.
Okay. She's yelling more at you.
So the new thing. People are not going on their honeymoon with their spouses anymore.
What?
Who are they going on their honeymoon with? Find out in Beyond the Headlines next. Did you and Lori go on a honeymoon?
We sure did.
Where'd you go? Do you remember?
Let's see. I think we were like 3 or 4 days in Rome.
Nice.
And then 3 or 4 days in Paris and then London.
Nice. That sounds amazing. Well, there's a new trend yet. There's a new, you're going to be shocked by this, where people don't go on their honeymoons together. Yes, they consummate the marriage, but it might not be on the honeymoon. People are taking separate honeymoons known as solo moons.
It's a true.
Or unimoons. Okay. If they decide that they don't like to maybe vacation together, and we've done stories about people vacationing on their own. The husband likes to golf, the wife likes to go to a spa, whatever, they make it separate. But now people are spending their honeymoons away from each other. Some of the couples featured in the New York Times story say they came back together and they were full of stories, telling each other, bubbling over the events of their separate uni-solo moons. The an expert, a dating expert, says the idea of separate honeymoons may signal the continued evolution of marriage. Given the recognition that for most couples today, marriage is a partnership and it's considered all-consuming, every partner needs to fulfill a role, physical, spiritual, emotional, and sexual. Perhaps separate vacations is a recognition that some couples can't expect the person to be everything they need.
You know, I could see it, but your
honeymoon.
I'm not judging,
for
God's, but that's the biggest crock I've ever heard.
It's insane.
Your honeymoon, you should be together.
Yes.
You're a couple. You're married.
You have the rest of your life to go on separate vacations
together. You can go on one together.
You can't be bored of each other already.
I think it just sets a bad tone for the relationship.
Wow. So quick, consummate the marriage after, and then you're
see
off
ya.
The next day. Hilarious.
Bye-bye.
A unimoon.
All right.
Oh, dude, is the swoosh not up?
The swoosh is not up.
No. Well, pretend.
Now dads can breastfeed, too.
Okay.
With
they can't.
A wearable device.
Okay. All right.
Dentsu, a Japanese tech company, wants fathers to be able to participate in the nursing process.
Oh, my God.
They debuted.
We've really jumped the shark here.
They
I'm
debuted
sorry.
This at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas.
Was it a joke?
According to Dentsu, no. It's actually a real apparatus that the dad wears. It is a wearable device that resembles a woman's breasts.
Oh my God.
And is equipped with a tank for milk or formula. It has a nipple.
No.
The device tracks the baby sleeping and feeding. It allows parents to see the data on an app. This tech company, Dentsu, in Japan, said they created the device to help alleviate parental stress due to a new baby's sleeping or feeding habits and to allow dads to participate in the process, too.
Isn't that why we have bottles?
Yeah.
Men don't lactate.
I know.
Why do we have to make it harder? Dad, thank you for getting up in the middle of the night, but that's why God made bottles.
Here, put on this vest with nipples and...
Okay. All right. It's complete insanity.
Yeah.
Complete insanity.
We've lost our minds.
Have you heard... Swoosh. Have you heard... Hey, Susan, can... Oh, that's Barb, not Susan. Three or more eggs a day may increase your risk of heart disease.
No, not the eggs. No. Don't...
I tell you, we can't win. It used to be fat. We weren't supposed to have fat. Then it was cholesterol. Then it was salt, right? The government has duped us so many times. You know, then it was carbs. You can't have carbs. Now it's eggs. You can't
kale and whiskey. That's all you can have is kale and whiskey.
So the study is in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which don't laugh because I do read that. People who eat three or four eggs a day or any equivalent of 300 milligrams of dietary cholesterol have a higher risk of both heart disease and early death compared to those who eat fewer eggs. They say eggs, a researcher says, especially the yolk, are a major source of dietary cholesterol. Study was published today in JAMA. So three or four eggs a day. I eat eggs almost every day.
Yeah.
I don't like this study at all. Susan, can you turn up the swoosh? I don't like this study at all. And I'm not buying it because in 20 years they're going to find out. Oh, yeah. JK.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We were wrong about that.
Sorry. Can you turn it up, Sue? We still don't hear it. Oh, got it. Hold on. We'll get you this. There we go. Excellent.
Thank
job.
You. Swoosh worthy. Jura, I thought of you when I saw this story.
Uh-oh.
When's the last time you flipped somebody off checked the wind direction?
Just a few minutes ago.
Or told somebody they were number one.
3-4 minutes? I'm not sure.
When it comes to the middle finger, police may need a thicker skin.
Uh-oh.
A federal appeals court says a Michigan woman's constitutional rights were violated when she was handed a speeding ticket after giving the finger to a suburban Detroit officer in 2017.
Oh, my God.
In a 3-0 decision on Wednesday, the court said that the officer should have known better, even if the driver was rude. So here's the deal. The officer stopped this woman, wrote her a ticket for a lesser violation. When that stop was over, and then she was on her way, apparently she looked back at the officer and...
the bird?
Yeah. And then the officer pulled her over a second time and gave her a tougher ticket.
Oh, for the same violation?
No, this time for a more serious speeding offense. And she wasn't speeding. She just pulled away, gave the guy the finger, gave the officer the finger, but she got a speeding offense. She sued, this woman sued, saying her free speech rights and her rights against unreasonable seizure were violated. Federal appeals courts agreed, saying her ability to display the middle finger is free speech.
That's protected, baby.
Free speech.
You can flip off anyone you want.
It's rude, but it's free speech.
I guess you can't legislate rude.
Not.
Boy. But then again, if that cop was going to get so mad about the finger, I mean, he might have a
don't you think they've seen
very
it all?
Short fuse.
Yeah,
so
maybe he was having a bad day.
Get that in check. A Google employee just broke the world record for calculating pi. Did you do this one yesterday on Pi Day?
No, I did not.
Well, yesterday was Pi Day. Emma Haruka spent 4 months working on the project. I guess she had a lot of free time.
Yeah.
In which she calculated pi to 31.4 trillion digits. You know, pi is
3.14.
But this is 31.4 trillion digits. Thus is why it took 4 months. Pi holds a special place in the realm of math. It's an irrational number that continues indefinitely without repetition. You can calculate it by dividing a circle's circumference by its diameter. You've now lost me, circumference, diameter, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Google employee calculated it, setting a world record. Maybe she was getting paid the whole time. Maybe this was just for fun because Google has so much money, but a lot of free time.
I should ask Mikey Max about this. Major League Baseball umpires, either heroes or villains. I mean, they have to call the balls and strikes in real time,
yeah,
right?
Both, depending on which team you're
and they
for.
Do the best they can. Get this. There is a campaign underway right now, more of an experiment. In the minor leagues, the Atlantic League, which has eight smaller teams on the East Coast, computers are going to be used to call balls and strikes starting April 25th in the Atlantic League. They've shortened up the distance between home plate and the pitcher's mound. And plate umpires are going to wear earpieces and be informed of ball strike calls by something called a TrackMan computer system that uses Doppler radar.
No, you invented Doppler. Well, that's,
no,
I hope you're getting. Are you getting residuals?
No, I don't. No, I did not, and I do not. Umps will have the ability to override the computer, which considers a pitch a strike when the ball bounces and then crosses the zone. So, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're if computers are going to be making umpires irrelevant here in a few years in the majors, but they're trying it out in the minors.
Much harder to argue with them.
Argue with a computer?
Yeah,
the computer just doesn't care.
Right, and then who's going to brush off the plate, though?
That's true.
You know, they're necessary.
Who's going to argue with the catcher?
And they're going to do those fancy dances, and they do their calls, their balls, and their strikes. I love the umpires. A little drama to the game.
Please, right, anyway. Don't do away with the umpires.
Yesterday was Pi Day. Today is the Ides of March. You've heard this,
yes,
of course.
Beware
the Ides. Beware the Ides.
Is that Brutus?
But you people don't know why the Ides are considered unlucky or why we should
Julius Caesar,
be
right?
Correct. So yeah. I just thought maybe a little frame of reference so you can use it. And by the way, the Ides, I-D-E-S, means 15. So that's why the Ides of March is March 15th. But of course, it became unlucky because of Shakespeare's play Julius Caesar. As Caesar was walking into the Congress, where he was brutally murdered by Brute, the soothsayer, soothsayer. That's an English word. Soothsayer. She's like a psychic. Yeah.
Psychic, okay.
She's in the crowd and she stops Caesar and she says, "Beware the Ides. Beware the Ides." And she's warning him that you have to beware of this day because you're about to get murdered by Brutus, which in fact.
Could she be a little more specific, though?
True, right? How about saying, "Don't go in the room because they're going to murder you and it's going to be your best friend and it's all going to be bad." But no, she just said, "Beware the Ides." So when someone says, "Beware the Ides," you now know the historical reference from the soothsayer to Julius Caesar on the way to his death. Thank you, Shakespeare.
Interesting.
There you go. But isn't that amazing that that was written, you know, a million years ago, and we still use that reference?
Beware the Ides of March.
Ides. Yeah. That's...
Okay. Mea culpa. Mea culpa.
Why? What'd you do?
The Minnesota Gophers beat the Penn State Nittany Lions.
There you go.
If Penn State's going to get beaten by anybody, I'm glad they got smushed by the Gophers.
Good.
Mikey Max, it was a nice win last night.
Nice win. Good, fun game. Yep. First half was a little sluggish, but in the second half in the overtime, It was highly entertaining because both teams went back and forth. This Stevens kid for Penn State's the real deal, and he kind of kept them in it, he and Reeves. And the Gophers kept answering with Amir Coffey. And you hate to put too much on this young man's shoulder, but it certainly is no coincidence that when they win, he plays really well.
Yep.
And when he doesn't play well, they don't win. So they get Purdue tonight. I'm not going to call this meaningless because you're still playing to move up in the seeds. But I didn't think after they beat Purdue the first time there was any chance that they'd be left off the NCAA tournament. Last night gave them certainty. On Sunday, their name will be called.
Okay, so it's 100%.
I'm called. Well, you know, what do you weather forecasters say? They're never 100%,
well,
but
best
sunrise
there,
and sunset.
Yeah. Okay,
is 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say if that sun comes up in the east tomorrow, the Gophers are in.
All right,
death
that's
a taxes.
Okay. That's
Jordana. Welcome back.
I've missed you.
I missed you too.
Yeah, I was in Puerto Rico.
I know. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, well, there were no pictures.
You know, you'd be surprised.
Hey, Max.
I'm not saying you posted them.
Well done. Well done.
There's a whole website she doesn't know anything about.
Right.
Yeah, very sad.
You guys are funny. Mm-hmm. Let's talk high school state basketball tournament.
Yeah, we got the girls tournament going on today. Goodhue rallied to beat Monaga in a pretty good game, and Mineota won the first game, so it's one against two in the championship, then the night a couple of games. The boys' section finals, a lot of them still being determined tonight in some good games, highlighted by Park Center against Champlin Park. Park Center's got a great team. And then Prior Lake and Eden Prairie. Prior Lake's the number one seed in that section. They play at Prior Lake. They've got a kid, this Garcia and this Jones kids. Garcia's healthy again. They're really good, but Eden Prairie beat Edina the other night 63-40. They've kind of peaked here at the end. They beat Hopkins, beat Edina, beat some good teams. Minneapolis North plays Breck, St. Cloud State. Albany plays Melrose. A lot of good games going on tonight. And Minnehaha Academy, who everybody assumes will be back to defend its title, with Jalen Suggs plays St. Croix over at Washington High School. All kinds of good games tonight.
Fun.
Wow.
Really is March Madness already.
Yeah, it is. And these high school games that you kind of conclude with the basketball season, but this this boys season has been pretty entertaining so far. There've been the freshman class in Minnesota this year in boys basketball is so good. I can't believe how many good freshmen you see playing, and you'll see in the state tournament next week. They're so far ahead of the curve, it seems like, right now.
All right. Max, I don't mean to ambush you,
mm-hmm.
but
Uh-oh.
Hurricane Sid.
Yeah.
Turning 99. You must have some stories. Are there any you can actually share with listeners?
I told one this morning, but I'll give you a couple different ones because I like to spread them out a little bit.
Okay.
You know, Final Four is coming on. I was going to sit all morning at his house today. Just had a ball with him. It was so fun to sit and visit with him. I forget he's 99 all the time because we have this back-and-forth relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the Final Four in Indianapolis. The Gophers are in it. Sid and I end up together in downtown in Indianapolis looking for a place to eat. We go to a Japanese restaurant, and Sid asks the waitress about the restaurant, and she says, well, it just opened yesterday. Sid says, oh, God, just our luck. Yesterday, huh? What are the chances we're going to get a good meal out of this? To the waitress, right? She serves the meal, right? Everything seems fine, standard. Comes back at the end. She says, you know, how was it? You know, I'm Minnesota nice. I say, very good. Sid says, to be honest with you, very ordinary, very average.
He meant to think it, not say it, right?
He meant to think it, not say it. Then that night, we go to there's a big banquet for the Final Four, and Sid is intent on interviewing McKinley Boston, the oversees the Gopher Athletics. Well, Lou Rawls is performing, and he's got the whole place on fire, jamming. People in the stands are dancing, blah, blah, blah. Sid looks at me and says, boy, this guy just won't shut up.
At least you know where you stand
yeah,
with
because
Sid, right?
All he needed was an interview. He didn't need Lou Rawls playing that, you know. He sits down with God is my witness again. He sits down at a table where the people are up dancing. They've got some of those chocolate-covered strawberries in the middle of the table, half of them been eaten. Sid starts in on those. While we sit there, doesn't even think twice, you know.
So many stories, Mike. I hope you're
that's just
down.
One day in the life of, you know.
One day in the life of 99 years.
99. So we sat today at his house, and we talked. He's going to be on my show tonight on the radio, I sat with him for a while because he had to go to Murray's today, and he's going to Chad's for dinner, and he's got to write his column, all those things. But you know that he is so grateful, and he feels like he's been so lucky that these people have taken a chance on him.
Right.
What he doesn't realize is they saw in him something they couldn't find anywhere else, a tenacity, an unbelievable ability to report. He makes it look like they gave him all the breaks. The truth is, he made them look really, really good, and they didn't have to work very hard because he worked so hard. He never has realized how good he has been at his job.
And, Maxie, somebody explained this to me, that if you seek out happiness, chances are you're going to be unhappy. If you seek out purpose...
Purpose.
If you look for purpose in your life, what do you stand for? What are you fighting for? What's your brand? What's your identity? What do you care about?
Yep.
And Sid has mastered that.
Purpose. I want to do a study sometime on, you know, is the brain and the muscle the same thing? In other words, his sense of purpose is in his brain, and every day that has controlled him. And I think that's why he's gotten to 99, still lives in a, you know, in a three-level house. He's got pictures. He's got a picture he and Colin Powell. I've never seen before. I said, Sid, where did this come from? Sid says, let me tell you, that guy's a big wig in this country.
I know.
He
some
couldn't
people.
Remember his name, but he knew it was a big wig.
A
you
big
know?
Wig, yeah. Well, he's right.
Yep. So I had a blast with him this morning, and it just as I was driving out, the other time Sid and I pulled into the driveway. I remember this poignant moment. I gave him a ride.
I got 30 seconds.
Okay, so at the end of the drive, Sid looks at me and he paused. And he says, "I just want you to know how much I appreciate your friendship." Very nice, right? I said, thanks, Sid. He pauses and he says, I think I've done a lot of things for you too, buddy.
Thank
best.
You, Maxie. We
thanks, guys.
That.
You're the best, Mike. Tune into Mike and Sid tonight.
Wow.
Oh, those are great stories, and there's so many more.
Yep.
Wet Basements, next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.